All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Can you see it? Did you know
this? Checked, but the puck comes right to Pettersson, who tries a back pass for Besser. In with a shot, he scores!
A moment's notice. Adams leaves the puck.
To the line, Hughes scores!
Yes, exists.
You're listening to Canucks Conversation.
Quinn Hughes beat reporter here. Like, I don't cover the Canucks. Yeah. I cover Quinn Hughes and what he's doing to the Canucks.
A member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Just wave the guy and get Demko involved. I wanted them in and down.
Wow. We should do a radio show together. Right on. I want to fist bump you right now.
What our heart. Pearl steals, cutting in, shoots, scores!
Public display is that what you need?
They slayed the dragon.
Yes, existence.
Don't waste all the good stuff on the off air. Let's go.
Hello, Canucks fans, and live from training camp out here in Abbotsford. Welcome back to another episode of the Canucks Conversation Podcast, presented by the great folks at Zephyr Epic. Use our promo code HOCKEYSEASON for $5 off your order. Free shipping across Canada from Abbotsford to Ontario. That's how far it goes across.
Excellent.
You can go get your deal there. Hockey season. Also delivered by the great folks at DoorDash. Use promo code COMBODD for your first time order. 25% off. Free shipping. All that jazz. Let's get to it. We're at training camp. Harmon Dials joining us. Harm, how you doing, man?
Doing great. Great to be in a building where there are some fans around. It's been a long time since we've seen that.
And who else is here? Okay, let me bring you in here for a second. And Quads, what'd you think of even driving up here and seeing people walking around with jerseys on the way in on the street?
It was cool. It was cool, man. And we met some Twitter people, which was fun.
Ran into Pucker Glenn up
Pucker
there.
Pucker Glenn, yeah. Met Pucker
Talked to
Glenn.
Him for a while.
Nice guy. We had a lot of fun so far. It's been good seeing fans back in a rink and Francesco Aquilini taking in the sights and sounds among the fans today.
Man of the people.
We didn't run into him, but we spoke to Paul Horvat.
But we already had our first set of meeting. For people who don't know, right now they are cleaning the ice, kind of the halfway point of Group 2 going on. And I guess I can kind of check in, because we're going to start by diving into Group A, I think. There was a lot to talk about from that first group. Harm, I think that you were on the other side of the rink. We were on this side. You were on the opposite side of the fans, and I think we all kind of saw the same thing with a lot of good things out of Lockwood. Will Lockwood looking good. Coach was calling his name, Willie, quite a bit. What'd you think of Will Lockwood right off the bat?
Yeah, he was buzzing out there, and that's kind of been something of a staple now for Lockwood, I guess. I even remember last season's camp in January, and at that point he had just, it was his first NHL training camp because he just signed his contract, and the impression that you kind of had from talking to people was, okay, this guy's probably going to be a long-term project. And he came into camp, and at that camp he impressed, and he didn't look out of place at all. And that was my first, like, wow, like, he's had a really good camp. Followed it up with a really good AHL season. And, you know, I talked to someone who followed the Comets really closely behind the scenes, works in the game. And they said, you know, among Utica's kind of young guys, like, Lockwood was definitely, like, he looks close to being in the NHL. And now to see him at camp, and now there's actually a legit opportunity, especially if Mott's out for the start of the season.
Yeah.
To see him come in and kind of land the impression that he has. Just, we saw the shot. He had a good goal in one of the drills, and just in a lot of these kind of drills, just buzzing around the puck and being actively engaged. I think it was it's obviously first day of camp, so we haven't seen scrimmages.
We kind
or anything
of have
like that,
to read into it, though. I mean, yeah. I think that there was a lot that kind of showed, even just in the final conditioning drill, seeing how far ahead he was compared to everyone else. By far, the fastest skater in a lot of those conditioning drills. But you mentioned it, the shot and the skating, I think, were two things that stuck out. Quads, you saw some good stuff out of Lockwood as well. Out of that first group, was he the guy who kind of stuck out the most for you, or someone else?
No, I think it was Lockwood. And, you know, Harmon kind of alluded to it earlier, but with these guys that are missing, you kind of hope that a guy like Lockwood can really, you know, seize the opportunity that's in front of him. Because just so people are aware, Justin Bailey's not here. Brandon Sutter's not here. Tyler Mott's not here. Tyler Mott's probably going to start the season, or not be able to start the season. We're not exactly sure just yet how long his timeline is. But man, like, there's a lot of guys missing from this camp, and obviously the two big ones, Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes, and it kind of changes the whole dynamic. Like, you know, in past years, not in pandemic years, but in past years, like in the Victoria training camp, we saw a distinct Group A with NHL talent, and then a Group B and a C with the AHL and the prospects. That's not what we're seeing here. Like, Connor Garland and JT Miller were both in Group B. Like, we're seeing a mix of both, and honestly, I think that kind of, that's partly because they're missing these guys. Like, they're missing their two big guys and even Tyler Mott. Like,
yeah.
When you're missing this many guys, you want to mix it up.
Hey, another name that stuck out to me, and first, Quads, before I go any further, you got the cans on. How's the Zamboni in the background sound?
People can hear it. It's faint because of the mics
that's
and the roadcast.
That's just good quality stuff. That reminds me of an old Botch and J-Pad episode.
It's not good quality stuff.
It's not good quality stuff?
Well, it'll sound a lot cooler when guys are out there yelling and, like, shooting pucks, which they will be shortly. They just went off the ice, and the Zamboni's just quickly flooding the ice. But we apologize for the Zamboni.
Oh, it sounds bad.
It sounds like we're recording on the side of a highway. I'm the only one that's wearing headphones. Harmon and Chris are just sitting here. All they can hear is the Zamboni. I'm the only one that can hear everything.
He's got a good 5 more minutes at least out there too. So sorry about that. Hey, Harm, want to get your opinion on this one? Because I looked at Quads at one point during the skate, and I said, you know, Nick Petan's going to play top 6 minutes in the preseason. Like, what did you think about seeing the opportunity for him going out there in that first group? I believe he was between Höglander and Besser, if I'm correct.
Yeah, and that was interesting to me because, and maybe I'm not on the right, track on this one. Maybe Green, it would have been different. But my initial thought was, if you're going to, like, if you expect, PD and obviously Hughes to be back relatively soon, And here's the thing, typically with Travis Green and his day one lines, they're usually pretty close to what he'll actually want to roll with. So the fact that Miller wasn't playing wing on that line was interesting to me. Like, I figured it might go Miller and then just have Petan as a placeholder there and then Besser. So the fact that Höglander is bumping Hulk Gunner's bumped up. For starters, that makes me curious about if Green was potentially, like, if this was a regular camp, or not a regular camp, if Pettersson had signed, would we have seen Miller at center potentially? So that's an interesting thing that I've thought about there. And yeah, I mean, with Pettersson out, Patan is, like, you look at, in Vancouver's top nine depth is obviously, like, it's shaping up really nicely. But I think this goes to show you that when one guy's out and you look at your other candidates, there isn't a natural fit to kind of step up into the lineup in terms of like a skill role. And I think that's where Patan kind of distinguishes himself, where he does have some of the more offensive attributes as opposed to, I mean, especially because Pettersson's a center. So yeah, I mean, this is a great opportunity for Patan to show something. And, you know, obviously, I think his best attribute is definitely his passing ability. And so I don't think drills like these are really going to be able to showcase it. But, I mean, this is a hell of a look for him.
Yeah, I mean, the best opportunity Nick Patan could ask for is playing between Höglander and Brock Besser. I found it kind of interesting as well, seeing that it looked like they were going to line up Miller at center. That's kind of what they have. But the other thing that I've kind of noticed throughout this, and Quads, you can dive in on this one here, but like, it seems like pairs are what they're going with. I mean, we've seen, I guess, the big pair, like, Patan wasn't the pair. Yeah. It was more Besser to be with Höglander. Then you look at the other lines up that they had Horvat and Pearson playing together a ton. And then I guess the final one was kind of like looking on the second group now. Quickly, we've seen JT Miller with Vasily Podkolzin is kind of the pair that I've seen there. And then as well on the second pairing, I guess from the second group, the other one might be, like, it's kind of hard. Dickinson has been kind of with Chase on a little bit. Is there another name that you've kind of seen Dickinson tied to? Because it looks like in the second group, Miller and Podkolzin, they've been doing a lot of drills together so far. Garland kind of hopping in there as well. That's been an interesting line to see put together at camp.
Yeah, and it's so tough because, again, with Pettersson out, you kind of have to, like, there's a lot of guesswork involved. So, I mean, yeah, that's one of those things where I just wish we had like Pettersson at camp. And that's one of the things, like, coming into it, like the day or two before, I was thinking, like, man, there's so many potential top nine combinations, but you can't really experiment as much with it when you don't have your number one center.
Yeah.
So
it's not like you can just throw a random name in there, but we are kind of seeing that with Nick Patan. Like, I wonder if that would have been a line that Travis Green would have explored. Quadzy, maybe it's like to see Höglander up there with Besser. And Patan, if Pettersson's here, do you think he's in that spot?
No.
With Höglander and Besser?
No, I don't think so. I think we're seeing
Miller
a different
center
group,
though, is a very different move for him.
Yes.
And putting him with Podkolzin is like an interesting thing that Harm kind of floated last week or last time he was on the show. You brought up, you know, if Dickinson plays up and plays the wing, then maybe you do see a situation where Miller is a third line center. Just the initial look at it from day one at camp. I know you don't want to
Here's my question for you is, is Travis Green putting Miller at center because he's maybe thinking he might have started the season without Elias Pettersson? And if you are playing Miller at the wing all camp and you're saying, oh, here's our placeholder for Elias Pettersson, but Elias Pettersson's not here on opening night, you just had an entire training camp and preseason where JT Miller's been playing the wing, and then you tell him he's to play center and play top 6 minutes in NHL games? I don't think so.
What if it's the opposite, though? What if Pettersson comes back right at the end of preseason and Miller's been playing?
I think we see Miller go back to wing.
But it would flip the lines quite a bit, too. Maybe, you know, it's day one. We haven't seen a ton yet.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think the interesting thing was to see Podkolzin play with Miller. And we'll get into Podkolzin a little bit here because, listen, I've been trying to take videos, get them out to the people. We'll get into some of the videos in a minute here. But it looks like Podkolzin is, you know, just kind of doing average right now, not really blowing us away like I saw at training camp. But Harm, I know you wanted to bring up Podkolzin's shot a little bit.
Yeah, and this is kind of just an interesting observation I've had where I think in dissecting Podkolzin's game, aside from, I think, some of the skating elements and the fact that he has some things in his technique and his first, you know, step or so to clean up. One of the other things that's been fascinating is the whole narrative of he creates a ton of scoring chances, but a lot of times because of his line mates and even individually, he doesn't bury him. And so his overall finishing, I think, in having conversations with people has typically come up as, hey, he needs to improve that. And so my initial thought before I had really seen him at camp and in person was, okay, like his shot probably like needs to improve quite a bit. And in terms of strength and power and just having a little bit more oomph
snap
behind
it.
Yeah, and it was fascinating because you know, I talked to an NHL scout before the season, followed Pod Colson very closely. And, you know, he had said, Pod Colson has a good shot. He just needs to be encouraged to use it more, and he needs to improve the accuracy. And I was kind of, that didn't really align with what I'd heard from other people. But now seeing him in person, and, you know, Quads, you posted the clip of him going bar down, and, you know, we even saw the clips of him at UBC. I think there's definitely a decent amount of pep behind the shot, yeah, is what I'm kind of realizing. And then it may just be, yeah, he needs to be encouraged to use it more, and the accuracy, and as well, there are other elements of shooting as well in terms of like being able to create angles and deceive goalies. But at least the power element has been a pleasant surprise for me.
I think the one thing that when I watch Pod Colson shoot that I'd like to see is just a bit more of a deceptive release.
Exactly.
Like, he really has to lean into it. And that's great. Like, he gets a ton of power. Like, somebody replied to the tweet I posted of the video. They're like, my goodness, like, his wrist shot is harder than like some NHL slap shots. And yeah, like, the power behind that shot is legit. He has real potential to have, you know, to become like a sharpshooter in the NHL. And I'd really like to see him again. More of a deceptive release. I think that's the only thing that I like really look at.
Yeah, and like I feel like power is, I mean, I don't know this, but I feel like you can't teach power as much.
Yeah.
And there's no doubt, like, he's gonna have to still work on a shot quite a bit in terms of like practical NHL real world situations. The finishing still is an area that needs to improve. But yeah, I just found it interesting that there's some power there.
I think that's the thing that a lot of people questioned about the shot was because we didn't see it so much in the KHL. Literally, there was not a lot of opportunities for him to even get into positions to shoot. So much dump and chase that when you get him into this type of drill, when you do get to start to see some of the shots, I mean, he's like you mentioned it, the power is no problem at all. And the accuracy seems to be pretty good as well. I mean, for some reason, I've just noticed this through the first day of rookie camp and through this first half of his skate, Mikey DiPietro just like knows where Pod Colson's shot's going, it feels like. Like, DiPietro's glove has just been Pod Colson's kryptonite through the first like 2 weeks here. So I'm hoping that, you know, Pod Colson kind of solved that. But I tell you, just watching some of these quick rushes where you see a line put together, I'm liking a lot from what I'm seeing from Connor Garland, who's playing on that line with Miller and Pod Colson. Just the way that Garland uses his body. Like, he doesn't have a big body, but it's almost just like, you know, he's shoving his ass out there like to gain so much space.
Garland's
so
shifty. And that's something
that he just gets, you know, he gets in line with the defender, and then it's like he just turns his ass into the guy and starts using that to really set up space. I've liked just when I'm watching Garland so far.
Really deceptive edge work, really shifty forward. Like, you can see right away that this guy's going to be somebody that, you know, is able to be an impact player for this team.
I want to touch on the pairings a little bit. We've gotten a little taste. No shocker, I don't think, seeing OEL play with Pullman in the first group. That wasn't really anything that shocked us. And then we saw who was Brad Hunt paired up with again? He was playing with
Bowie.
Woo. Yeah, it was Bowie. And we were kind of thinking Hunt, Bowie, that might look like your top line out here in Abbotsford.
Yeah.
But OEL, Pullman, I mean, it's hard to really judge a lot from here, but Quads, what did you think just seeing that pairing put together? It's kind of what we expected to see.
Yeah, we expect it to be the Canucks shutdown pairing, the go-to pairing that they have. And, you know, like, we've always thrown out those ideas of, you know, combinations, and often we say Travis Hamonic and Quinn Hughes. Well, those two guys aren't here, so it makes even more sense that we'd see Pullman and OEL together, and not like, you know, like, I know we floated out the idea of, oh, maybe Pullman will play with Hughes or Rathbone, but again, with Hughes and Hamonic not here, again, Travis Hamonic missing today with a personal matter, was what we were told by Canucks PR. It makes sense that we're seeing Pullman and OEL together.
And Harm, for you, what's your read on seeing Hunt and Bowie together? Because to me, like, no one, it seems like everyone forgot about Madison Bowie, but I think he's going to be a guy who's going to be a top-line guy in the AHL for them, a top potential top-pairing player. What do you get a read off of seeing Hunt and Bowie together?
So my thought process in terms of the left-side defenders is kind of, you know, when you looked at Ylevi Myers, first of all, like, that wasn't a surprise because we'd seen that combination in NHL games last year. And, you know, I think Rathbone has a better shot at making the team than Ylevi. But Ylevi's got the year under his belt. He's older, a little bit more mature. And as a rookie, you kind of have to, like, earn it. So it wasn't too surprising to see Rathbone with Shen, especially because that's a cool little stylistic fit for there in terms of the dynamic partner and kind of the stay-at-home guy. And then for Hunt, he is an NHL caliber defenseman for sure. And I think if there was, you know, one spot, you know, one difference that I thought, you know, maybe could have happened was if you had flipped Hunt and Ulevi because of Hunt's experience. But barring that, I mean, it's not too surprising to see him together. And I think with Bowie in particular, I don't know if he really has, and we'll see kind of how things unfold, but Bowie's definitely AHL bound.
Yeah, I think Bowie is for sure. Do you think that, is that sort of anything to read off of Hunt there? Like, you brought up that, you know, it looks like Rathbone likely has the inside track to make the NHL. You'd think with the low salary cap of Ulevi and I guess the disregard for Jim Benning to want to send him down, like, Quads, do you get the read that Hunt is going to be the guy who ends up getting sent down to the AHL and it ends up being Ulevi or Rathbone really just being the seventh defenseman?
I thought Hunt was hustling today. Like, Hunt was playing the body. He was impressive. And you know who wasn't super impressive? I'm not trying to crap on the guy. I'm not trying to say he was bad, but Ulevi didn't stand out like Hunt did, right? And here's the thing about Brad Hunt is, like, we were talking about this. Like, he doesn't play in the AHL. Like, Brad Hunt has been an NHL defenseman for his whole career. Ollie Ulevi has not been an NHL defenseman. I know he's young. I know he still has, you know, hopefully still has room to grow. But if you're asking me just which of these two guys I would rather have on our NHL roster, it's Brad Hunt for sure. And that's just not just from today. That's like what I would have told you before. And until I see some great improvement from Ulevi, I think that's the opinion that I'm going to keep.
The only thing to me is, though, like, the easiest contract to send down is Brad Hunt. I don't think it gets picked up, but I don't think they want to send their fifth overall pick down. And I know that, you know, Drance has kind of talked about this and you guys have wrote about it at The Athletic a lot. If you send Rathbone down and call him back up, a lot more on the cap hit unless you keep Rathbone up all season just to see if he hits his bonuses. So, Harm, do you see it kind of playing out like Hunt is the guy who ends up getting sent down, or do you think they take a risk with Ulevi here?
Well, I think that's what camp and I think preseason is going to be huge for. I mean, definitely, I don't think they're going into this with the mindset, with a predetermined plan. I think definitely they would prefer if Rathbone, if when they submit opening night rosters, that Rathbone's on it for cap purposes. Maybe they send him down after. But definitely, I don't think they want to be in a situation where they send him down before submitting the rosters, and then they might have to call him back later, and then all of his bonuses kick in and his cap hit climbs. And so, like, there's that element. And so really, I think Ulevi versus Hunt is going to be the battle. And yeah, we'll just have to see how it plays out through the rest of the couple days and through preseason.
It's day one. Who are you giving the edge to? Brad Hunt.
We've only seen half a practice of Ulevi here.
That's true.
We haven't seen the second half. I think the second half of the practice is going to be a lot more.
Yeah.
You know, the first half was a little bit slow. The second half cranked up for the first group. So I think we're going to see a similar thing here. But, I mean, you know, I'm about to be getting a ton of video of it here when they get going.
Yeah.
I need to see Ulevi defend the rush.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you're watching here this whole time. Quick thoughts on OEL. The video I posted, already over 30,000 views. That thing blew up pretty fast. 200 retweets on OEL being that far behind in conditioning. Is this something at all? Harm, we'll start with you. Anything from the how far OEL was behind in the skate?
Yeah, it was interesting because how many rounds of the bag skate did they do? 4 or 5?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, and so for the first, like, it's important that we view it in context, right? That was the last round. And so it's important that, like, I think a lot of people could look at that and say, wow, he came into camp, like, completely out of shape. Like, no, that's not quite it.
Yeah,
he was keeping pace for the entire, like, first 3 or 4 rounds. And it wasn't just, he was keeping pace. Like, he wasn't distinguishably lagging at all. It was just the last one where he kind of ran out of gas.
Off the map. Yeah, quite a bit.
And so from there, I mean, it's tough to read into how much that means. I mean, sure, definitely. I think with OEL, his skating and his overall conditioning, it's one thing when you watch some of the tape of him in Arizona. I was a little bit surprised that he didn't have more separation and more dynamic ability. So that maybe that's just a part of his game that we're going to have to accept in terms of he may not be the dynamic, explosive skater he was in his prime. And it may ultimately mean that he has to kind of, over the years, kind of evolve similar way as Edler. Yeah. But I mean, I personally, I don't read a ton into that because, again, like, he was fine for most of the rounds. It was just the last one where it was a little... Dogged.
Yeah, like what I'm saying here is it's not like if Jake were here, that would be the story, right? Is oh, well, look how much further behind Jake was. Like, this wouldn't even be a story. You know what I mean? And like, I feel like we need somebody. Like, somebody has to be last, and OEL today was the guy that was last. Again, I cut him a little slack because this is his first Travis Green training camp.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
I mean,
a lot of these guys know what to expect. He was told what to expect, but until you actually do it, I have a little bit of sympathy for OEL here.
And I think the guy that stuck out for that in a positive way, we touched on him a little earlier, but like how far ahead Will Lockwood was there was unbelievable.
Yeah.
He was, you know, he was finishing before the rest of the players were even close to the blue line. Like, he was flying and putting in a lot of effort.
It was Elias Pettersson in 2019 in Victoria-esque, where like Pettersson just put on that show. And I still think nothing can top what Pettersson did at that 19 camp, where it was just that FU attitude of I'm going to lead this team. This was kind of Lockwood's, I think, like statement of, hey, I'm here to make the team.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, hey, we'll take a quick break here. On the other side, Quads, I'm going to open the door for you, man. You can talk goalies a little bit. And also I had a good conversation with Jonah Gadjevich, a little one-on-one that I'll get to. Some interesting things that he told me. So we'll get to that on the other side. But right now, let's throw a quick ad break. All right, folks, you know what time it is? We are here to talk about our favorite beer sponsor, Parallel 49 Beer. One of the go-tos, Quads. You can find this one at most restaurants, too. A lot of restaurants, I've never seen it around. The Trash Panda, simple, one of the longest-standing beers from Parallel 49. Highly recommend going out to try it. Not just the beers, though, but the patio, Quads. The patio at 1950 Triumph Street. Tell the folks about some food and the sweet little drinks on the side that I know you like.
So the Muddler's Pink Lemonade is my go-to, but man, the food there, cheeseburgers, the spicy chicken burger was fantastic. Sub the pickles, right? Get the pickles instead of jalapenos. Poutine, I had fantastic. They got some green onion in there and it's nice and melted. The worst thing about what makes a poutine bad is when the cheese is not melted. This one, it's melted and it's very, very good. So go down, check that out. The poutine, the burger, the spicy chicken sandwich. What was that last thing we got?
We got some wings.
The wings, the Korean barbecue.
But they're also putting a roof over there. They're working on it for the fall, so it's not just going to be the patio. We got rained out the other day trying to go to Parallel 49, but they're putting a roof over it. The beers are always fresh. So many different beers on tap there. So go out and try some Parallel 49 beer. You can get it at every liquor store you can find and also get on the 1950 Triumph Street to check out the street kitchen. Folks, summer might be over, but the time to drink Squish is never over. This drink is taking its way into the fall, into the winter, and this is the perfect beverage for everyone. It's not one of those zero calorie drinks that has no flavor and just tastes like tonic water. These ones have some flavor, folks. Squish Beverage, you can find it all over BC liquor stores, but I'm telling you got to do a little bit of digging. You got to go to some private liquor stores. If you find it, tweet at us about it because other listeners want to know where they can find the Squish Lemonade. Comes in a variety of flavors. My favorite, Squish Lemonade Passion Fruit or Squish Lemonade Pineapple. Kind of lean towards pineapple most of the time. So go out and find Squish at your local BC liquor stores or do some of that digging and find the Squish Lemonades at private liquor stores across British Columbia. And a big thank you to our sponsors, of course. Now, I don't know how this happened. I don't know how Quad snuck him in here because I said, Quads, I'll give you 5 minutes for goalies. And he comes in here, Kevin Woodley in Goal Magazine. Kev, how's it been going so far, man?
We had to get the hair and the non-hair. I had to, me and Quads with the flow and you and Harm with the like short beards and matching tops.
Quads saw you walk by and he's like, I think I need a hat tomorrow. Because like he's been at the rink. He's getting a little humidity. Or I don't really know how
way
it works.
Way too much.
There's a lot going on there.
Yeah.
A lot of hair, a lot of product. It gets a little messy in here.
I gotta start using product because I don't use product, which is probably why this happens.
See, I wouldn't know what product to use, but I got two teenage daughters. So that, like, now that the hair's getting a little longer, they're helping me out.
Darn.
See, all you need is a couple teenage daughters, Quads.
Yeah, I'll get working on it.
All right, let's get into the goalie talk. I mean, we could keep on. No, we're not going to talk hair anymore. Let's get into the goalie talk here. We had five of them on the ice today. Woodley, I guess, where do you want to start with this? I mean, I just kind of want to get my point out there and then let you guys take it away. I didn't think that Thatcher Demko was kind of standing out as much as I was kind of hoping you would at the first day. What were you kind of seeing from Demko?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. Wasn't here for the beginning of his session. May have had to pick up some pants for Jaro Halak because his hadn't arrived from Vaughan. They're en route and stuck at the NHL offices. So I didn't see it. I had a couple of people say he looked a little stiff. I don't really worry about first day of camp because I saw him the last couple of weeks at the pro skates and he looked exceptional. Like there were times where I was like, oh my God, he's in mid-season form. Put my money down on the Vezina right now. Like he looked great. Mikey DiPietro to me looked exceptional in the first half of this skate. We were still doing the media on the other end, but where I was standing, I could look down at the end he was in and it was just line, you know, rush drills, like goalie's worst nightmare. Guys teeing it up from below the circles, chin music, headshots, the kind of stuff that we hate. And I don't think I saw a puck go in. Like he was just tracking in on everything, taking it off the shoulders, catching pucks clean, steering pucks into corners. And I was like, holy crap. And about halfway through, I mean, again, a long session, looked to me like he fatigued. So, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. If anybody's judging people on day one at camp outside of maybe a little fitness things with the bag skate, that's probably a little premature. Jaro Halak looked kind of stiff too. Look like a goaltender that is going to have some adjustment to do to get used to what Ian Clark wants out of him. And I think there's going to be a lot of back and forth in that process. It's not going to be overnight.
Hey, training camp's one thing, but I'm curious now that they're going to have a preseason here, how do you think the best way to attack that is for your NHL goalies like Halak and you know, Thatcher Demko getting these games, but also kind of giving Mikey a shot? How do you think the best way to play preseason would be?
You always hedge towards what your NHL guys want. Right. Like it's their call. I'm sure Ian has a voice in terms of what he thinks they need. And then they'll have a say in what they want. It's about getting them ready for the season. And the reality here is as much as everyone wants Michael DiPietro to get a shot and be an option, contractually, he's not right. Like he's just not this season outside of injury. He's going to be here in Abbotsford. And so your priority is making sure that Thatcher is up and running and feeling good about his game, better maybe than he felt today on the opening day of camp, and that Jaro Halak has every opportunity, something that Braden Holtby lamented not having last year, to take whatever he's trying to change with Ian Clark and try that in a game situation so that by the time the bullets are flying for real, he's comfortable and he's not hesitant. So they're the priority. Usually that's 2.5 games, 2 starts in a half game, maybe 3 starts for Demko, and he leaves halfway through for each guy. So that gets you to 5, maybe 6 games. I would expect we see Mikey and Silovs maybe really early in this process, and I wouldn't be surprised at all, despite having the best mask in camp today, yeah, that we don't see Spencer Martin.
The chrome mask, I'm a big fan.
Like I haven't seen that before, and I'm like having visions of beer league. Like if I could turn the lights up and have a chrome mask like that, my best chance might be to sort of like have the glare catch shooters in the eyes. I'm picturing all the guys going to the old Ovi shield with the like glare shade to try and counteract it. That thing is sick.
Do we know who designed it? Was it Gunnarsson?
I'm pretty sure it's Gunnarsson because Dave Art did his mask last year in Tampa. I looked it up after seeing it, and he had a similar theme in Tampa. So
very nice.
Yeah, it was sweet.
You were telling us about...
I could have lived without the Tampa pads.
Let's say cut it here. I don't want any more Woodley goaltending on the show. You know how I felt with the last podcast, and he's getting comfortable in the chair over there.
I was about to ask him about equipment.
Chair's getting warm, boys. The chair's getting warm.
We haven't heard from Harmon yet. Look at Harmon. He's getting all sad because Woodley's coming in here talking about freaking goalies.
Harmon's over here taking notes. He's learning. He's a student.
Harmon's texting other people so he can ignore the goalie conversation. I'm with Harm on this one.
Harm's taking notes, Chris.
All right, get out of here, Woodley.
All right, I'm gonna go pretend I have a job and maybe do some interviews, see who survived the bag skate or not. Boys, thanks for having
me. Check on your levy for us.
Yeah. Is he still in the corner?
If he dies, he dies.
Thanks, Woodley.
Cheers. All right. For those that don't know, we have to talk about it. Ollie O'Levy in the bag skate, right before we started recording this. Down in the corner, like down for the count. Like I was actually, like I even said to you guys, I was like, someone gonna go check on him? Like he was laying down. He was like done. And you know, it was not a good scene. Yeah.
Harm into the second half here. What do you read into that, Harm? Just because we were kind of discussing here with Woodley, is it more about the skating? Is it more about your conditioning? When you see him like that, I think you have to say conditioning, right? To see the positions he was in after finishing there.
Yeah, it's also like tough. I mean, we had the conversation with Woodley before we recorded, like
And again, it goes back to the OEL thing too. There's so much missing context, right? I think Ulevi probably prematurely emptied the tank in terms of his effort level in the one-on-one battle drills. Like, it's going to be a very different, like, you got to remember before they did those bag skates, they practiced and did all these drills. Guys are going to put varying levels of effort in, especially, you know, someone like Ulevi who's trying to make the team. So, I mean, there's that element. I mean, who knows how guys are feeling, you know, you might have been sick or whatever. I'm not trying to make an excuse for Ole, but yeah, I mean, it didn't look pretty. It's just, I think for us as outsiders, not having the context, and this goes back to the OEL thing too. And obviously OEL's wasn't nearly as bad, but I don't know. It's just tough to read specifically into what that's telling you. When someone comes in like Pedersen or Lockwood and they make a strong statement, mm-hmm. like you can read into that a little bit, I think, because it's like they're clearly trying to stand out in a positive way. If other than that, sometimes when a guy's falling behind, it can be indicative of conditioning. Maybe their stride isn't very efficient, but other times just maybe they tried a lot in the actual battles.
Well, yeah. I'm going to have to defend Ulevi here, of course, because this is what I do here on this podcast. But same thing happened to him in Victoria. But the thing that he was very far behind in Victoria, but the thing that happened in Victoria was they go out to stretch at the end, and Ulevi couldn't even do some of the stretches. I think that was an actual injury problem for that.
He had an excuse back then.
To me, you didn't see him limping around. You didn't see him having any problems with those knees. He's had a healthy offseason. He's been able to come in and work out, and yeah, he didn't look great, obviously, in conditioning. But through those drills, like we were saying, he's matching up against Pod Colson. Yep. Looked pretty strong against Pod Colson a couple times, even Jason Dickinson a few. I thought Ulevi did a fine job today, but I thought Rathbone still looked a little bit better. Rathbone was looking good defending, but the guy we all want to talk about here was Luke Shen. Not only looked great in the drills today, just being physical on everyone, but Harm, you were talking about how good he looked in the skates as well, in the bag skate at the end there. He was keeping up with Rathbone as kind of the top of his group.
Yeah, Shen's not fleet of foot. He's a big dude, shutdown guy. I mean, his skating is ultimately what held him back from fulfilling his draft stock as a high pick and not becoming a top pairing defenseman. And so I naturally expected that he'd kind of fall behind, but he was in the middle of the pack of his group. And especially as a veteran, like a lot of times as a veteran, like he signed a 2-year deal, he wouldn't be coming here unless he knew that he's going to make the NHL team. And so, you know, for him to kind of put that effort in, especially in the drill immediately preceding that, when he was bullying guys, I mean, that was a strong first impression for Shen in terms of coming into camp and being in top peak physical condition.
Anyone else in the second group, or do you want to get into Shen? Because I know you were pretty positive about him too, Quads. You thought you liked...
Yeah, absolutely. No, like the way Shen was moving, I was shocked. Like especially when you're a veteran guy, you can maybe come in, dog it a little bit, and, you know, you're okay with that because he knows what he is. The organization knows what they have in him. But no, he was hustling out there. And to see him hanging with Rathbone, again, like Harmon said, near the front of that group, like, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I guess out of the second group, some other names, like we kind of mentioned it going into the break, that we saw Garland, Miller, Pod Colson. Any of those three that we want to touch on here? Either of you guys can step in here if you want to bring up one of them.
So Harmon pointed this out to me, but Connor Garland is a little slower than I thought when he's going in a straight line. And I think that's why we saw him toward the end in the bag skate. Not all the Ulevi levels, but he was, you know, behind the leaders of the group. So yeah, that straightaway speed, that's something I didn't really know Garland didn't really have in his game. But again, so shifty and really noticeable today in that regard.
Maybe there's also like a technique to this if you haven't done it before, right? Because I think...
Look at Myers. Myers was gliding through those long strides.
And yeah, especially I think Myers' long legs and Garland, the smaller strides, but also like both him and OEL as a first experience kind of lagging behind a little bit. Like maybe there's like a technique to this, and that's why I don't like to read too much into these things, other than if a guy is doing clearly doing really well, right? Because if he's clearly doing really well, there's only one sign. It's either he's done it before and his skating is looking good and he's well conditioned. But if if a guy's not looking good, there are a multitude of injuries he could, or reasons he could be banged up. He could have had a rough night of sleep. He could have anything, right? So
just getting used to habits for the night before, maybe.
Yeah,
it's a different place we've learned.
That's kind of just my perspective on it.
Yeah, I'm kind of agreeing with you here. I mean, yeah, you know, we've already seen what the videos have been doing, like early on with OEL and the pictures of Ulevi as well. But I think it's going to be interesting to watch them bounce back tomorrow, because knowing that a bag skate's probably coming again tomorrow, I still want to see Ulevi put it all on the line during the drills. I think those are the real important things.
Yes.
Yes, if he's slacking and he looks bad in the drills and he's, you know, piled over in the corner and barely being able to get up. If he's giving 100% in the drills, that's still the thing that matters way more than what his conditioning looks like.
And let's not forget, there's preseason games. Those are what really matter. Like, how he performs in those preseason games is going to matter a ton, especially when he has Rathbone right on his tail as well. Sorry, something, not to change the subject too much, something that I just noticed, and it is about goaltenders. Mikey DiPietro is being used right now to show Jaro Halak, who's like a veteran in the league, and Spencer Martin how to properly integrate on the post. Because he's so good at it. He's being used as the example.
I was watching, like, they had the whole team down here doing drills. And we were all watching it. And then I look over and just the goalies were in the end working with Ian Clark. And you just see Woodley's just dialed in.
Yeah.
Wasn't even paying attention to any player on the ice. Just the goalies shuffling in the crease. Yeah, so they're getting some good time in right now. You got a lot of guys out there right now. It looks like Sanford, Clark, two other shooters as well to go work with DiPietro, Halak, and Spencer Martin.
Yes, I've got I put the mic there, our spare mic, because now Woodley's gone. I just pointed it toward the ice. I'm
saying, how loud is that coming in?
It's nice. You know how you were talking about the old Pat casts when Botch and J-Pat would record and they'd have the sound? It sounds like that. Now you have the on-ice chatter, the shots hitting the glass, and, you know, players' skates and everything. It's nice.
Can we quickly get that one Travis Green scream there?
That was so funny.
So Green skating down after, I guess, a drill didn't really go exactly as he wanted. As he's skating towards, the crowd's only on one side here at the Abbotsford Center, and he's just kind of does a half circle. He's skating directly at the crowd.
Nobody's skating. No sound coming from the ice.
You can't hear anything except for Green dropping F-bomb after F-bomb as he yells at the team to figure it out for the drill. And I'm just thinking of all these kids sitting in the stands here. Like, Mommy, what does this pucking mean? I'm just worrying about some new words for these kids. They definitely heard some today. Oh, hey, man. Anything else you guys want to touch on? Because there's something I want to bring up just from the one-on-one with Gadjevich. But is there anything else before we kind of close out here? So, just had a one-on-one with Gadjevich, which was kind of nice. Good to chat with him, chat about his Aussie. I was asking him, like, hey, like, put a lot of pucks behind goalies today. Is this something that, you know, isn't just an AHL flash in the pan? Like, it seems like you're doing it consistently. Like we kind of brought up, Demko didn't look that great in the first little bit. And I thought Gadjevich put a couple past him. Kind of asked him about his off-season work, and he was just saying that the biggest thing for him was to work on skating, and that's good. That's what we've all kind of talked about for Jonah Gadjevich having to improve on to get to the NHL. And then just another interesting note was last year, like, his goal weight to be around was 215. That was his playing weight last year. And to hear him say that he knows now that his playing weight should be 205, and that's what he's coming in this year, a little bit lighter. He said he shed down quite a bit of muscle to get down to this point, so he's feeling a lot better at 205. And I think he looked better on the ice. I don't know if you guys picked up kind of the same, but I thought he looked a little bit lighter on his feet, just kind of in that first practice there. So it was good to see Jonah, you know, go with something where he shed 10 pounds. And I thought it looked like it improved a little bit. I think there's a long way to go, and it was just one practice. But little things, just seeing him, it felt like he was a little bit lighter on his feet.
Yeah, caught my attention as well. Like, he was one of the first guys I pointed out to. Even in the live notebook I did for Canucks Army, he was one of the guys I pointed out. So, yeah, I mean, good showing from Gadjevich on day one. Again, lots of camp left, lots of preseason left.
Final thing I want to do, and I kind of want to do this every day with you guys as we go in here. So we're not going to be able to say the same name, but we'll go Harm first here, Quad second, and I'll go third. Who's the best guy today? Best Canuck on the ice, Harm.
You mean...
just like, made a nice point for themselves in a positive way.
I think Lockwood for me.
Lockwood's your guy, just from the skating and I guess kind of all
around. Just the way he... Yeah, the shape he was in, the skating, his battle level, the drills. I thought he looked really good.
And Quad, you cannot pick Lockwood. Who was your
guy? I'm going to say Brad Hunt. Brad Hunt, again, the hustle level was great.
See, I saw the hustle level, but I didn't see a lot else, to be 100% honest.
I mean, he was bodying guys. He was moving the puck well. He was talking to us after his...
Talked for Group a long a. time.
Yeah, he did. He had a lot of questions toward him. they were asking him why he's the greatest to ever do it. And wow. Yeah.
Damn, okay, well, you guys are going to go there. I guess I'll go with, and Woodley's going to love this. I think he might even be able to see me if you're, but I think DiPietro looked good today. Honestly, like the thing that kind of stuck out to me about those second groups was the goalies. I thought that they were kind of the best performing out of that group right off the bat. I didn't see a lot of goals be going in there. So I'm going to go with him. And just kind of what you mentioned here, see the drills. It's been, I think, a good practice for the goalies here in Group B. And hoping for a lot more tomorrow as well. I think it's going to be a fun one. Harm, thanks for joining us. We're back for day two. Got a little fun thing planned for day two as well. I think we're just going to record the show back at the hotel because Quads and I got a hotel. We're staying in the same hotel as you. We'll record a show, but then we got a special Patreon. I got a whole bunch of drinks left over from my last golf trip. I got some Smirnoff Ice, Harm. We'll see if we can get you on those. Your Muddlers.
Yep.
I got some squish as well. Yep. Not lemonade, though, but I got some squish.
It's all good.
So we'll get that all going tomorrow. Do I have a little fun pre-drink Patreon tomorrow?
Canucks Convo or patreon.com/CanucksConvo. $5 and $10 tiers gets you all of the bonus content, including drinking it with Favor Harm and Quads.
For everybody that subscribes over the weekend, or even after hearing this episode, I'll buy Harm a shot for each person that subscribes to the Patreon.
No.
Harm will take the shot that I buy
for you. Yes.
No.
Oh, yeah. We're getting Harm to retweet this
on Friday night.
I did not agree to this.
Thursday night, you're listening to this. If you want to get on the Patreon, you'll be buying Harm a shot.
You can even join the $1.69 tier. The $1.69 tier, it still counts.
Well, no. If you join the $1.69 tier, Quads has to do the shot. If you join the 5 or 10, Harmon's doing the shot.
Oh, man. Well, it's everyone cheaper. Everybody's going to join the 169. Yeah.
Well, then do the 169 both of us, and Quads will be doing the shots.
Both
Quads
of us.
Goes out drinking and he counts how many drinks he's having. So if we start buying him shots,
oh, man. All
right. We'll see what happens
wrap
on Friday
up.
Night.
Wrap this up.
All right. We'll wrap things up for David Quadrelli and Harmon Dial. My name is Chris Faber, and thank you for tuning in to day one of training camp here in Abbotsford.
Thanks for listening to Canucks Conversation, delivered by DoorDash. Hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
How about keep it to a thank you, Jim?
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.